Hey, everybody, and welcome to Hammer Down. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and you're checking out the Market Scale Network. Appreciate you tuning in. In our last couple episodes, we have had a bunch of folks who joined and really identify a challenge or identify a problem in the supply chain. And today being Earth Day, of course, this is today's special Earth Day episode. I found a guy who has solved or is working on solving one of the biggest challenges in supply chain, how to make it more sustainable. Matt LeDuc, CEO of 4 Mobility. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Looking forward to being here.
Matt, so super excited. So let's get right into it. State of California says starting, I guess, you know, theoretically January 1st of this year, anybody who wants to register a truck to go into the ports has to do so with a zero emission vehicle. And you realistically are one of the few calls that they can make in order to find access to those zero emission vehicles. Tell me about 4 Mobility.
Yeah, we started just about 3 years ago. May 1st of 2021 was when we incorporated it. We had the idea years ago, but at the notion was that this was going to be an ambitious, to say the least, transition that Air Resource Board was putting up, and in a pretty ambitious timeline that they were doing. But we knew that not everybody was going to have real estate. Not everybody knows everything about power. There's a bunch of incentives. There's a bunch of capital. It's really complicated. And that one of the best ways to do this was to turn capital costs into operating costs and make a subscription where you could get charging and you could get trucks for a fixed price per month at a really predictable price. And so we launched the company. We've raised some money around it. And the whole goal is to give folks like Dallin and folks who need to make this transition or want to make this transition an opportunity to do it at a price that hopefully makes sense, which is something we work really hard on ourselves and also hard on with the Air Resource Board.
Sure. So the idea here is that when a trucking company looks to switch to a zero emission vehicle, there's a bunch of transitions, and we are focusing a lot on port work and drayage because that's where the regulations are kind of the most aggressive. So historically, as a trucking company, you were probably out there looking for the oldest of the old trucks that are available for sale. That's what you're going to take into the port. And now instead of saying, look, let me go find a used vehicle, you're being mandated that you need a zero emission vehicle. So electricity or hydrogen, and the cost of those are way different. And Matt, do I have it right? That's sort of where you're playing, is you're trying to find a way to make it so that a trucking company doesn't have to take out a second, third, and fourth mortgage in order to get access to one of those trucks.
You got it, right? I mean, those trucks, like you said, they were $300,000-$400,000. Now they're $400,000-$500,000 plus in some case. You know, they will come down precipitously. Like passenger vehicles are kind of apples to apples these days for a host of reasons. You know, heavy duty trucks are still disproportionately expensive, but that's going to change. But in the meantime, like you said, you got a really expensive truck that you can end up doing some cool things with, though. You can stack a plethora of incentives, especially in drayage, especially if you're small fleets, especially if you're in disadvantaged communities. And you can start whittling down that, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 truck, and you can do a 5-year lease, and you could. And I think the good news is that charging with electrons is a pretty cost effective way to fuel. And once we can kind of figure out this truck piece, I think that, you know, it's not going to be an easy transition, but it will be a transition that can be made at some cost parity. But we've kind of got to keep knocking down that truck every single week as we possibly can.
Sure. So now, if I'm a trucking company and I get on the phone with you or the team over at 4 Mobility, what's sort of the offering? How do I work with you? What's the right approach to really look at, you know, essentially electrifying my fleet?
Yeah, so, you know, we endeavor to build our facilities. So the facilities charge 50 to 100 trucks at a time. There's one very public facility that we're just about to break ground on in a few weeks at the Port of Long Beach. It'll be capable of charging a couple hundred trucks a day. But we also have facilities in Rancho Dominguez. We have facilities in Lynnwood. We have facilities in Oakland and Livermore and Seattle that we're developing similarly. And those facilities can all hold 50 to 100 trucks at a time. And ideally, we're developing these pieces of property that are in a place that is convenient for the trucking companies out there doing the work. And the way it works is, yeah, you want to buy a truck yourself, by all means. We are absolutely okay with people bringing their own truck to our facilities. But what we do is we say, you know, let's take the Port of Long Beach facility. What we can do is we can offer you a charger, we can offer you a dispenser, and we can offer you trucks. And we could put one truck, two truck, four trucks. It just depends on how people want to operate their fleets. But ideally, you find a facility that's close by. You contract with us for it. And I think the benefit of us is that we build these facilities, we staff them 24/7, we secure them, we maintain them. We've had operating fleets in Long Beach today. We have over 100,000 miles on our trucks today. And I think that what we can say is that by having staff on site and being operators that we are, we've had trucks charging and we haven't had a single charging incident for months and months. I mean, we know how to fix these things. We know how to keep them running. And so we can build these facilities where we can get a lot of trucks charging at the same time. That drives the cost down. And we could also maintain them and run them so that when people show up at 4 or 5 in the morning, they're not showing up to an empty truck. They're showing up to a fully charged truck and a staff there to greet them.
Got it. So Matt, within the facility, are you including like a parking spot? Is there room for a container? You know, if I'm parking at the Port of Long Beach, presumably I've got an empty that I'm going to bring in there in order to get the dual transaction.
Yeah. So with different facilities, we have different real estate, right? And I think the we have facilities and we have lots of pull through charging availability that we're going to be developing where you can pull through with a chassis and a container. And we also offer the bobtail charging too. And I think this is something like, as people think about the transition, this is going to be, I think it's going to take some flexibility and listening on 4 mobility and folks like ours part. It's also going to think it's going to take some work on the carrier part, because obviously a bobtail spot is a lot less real estate. And real estate, as we all know, is not the cheapest thing, especially down in Long Beach. So you know, how much of our real estate do we want to have for container storage? Because we do have facilities that can do that. And how are we going to do bobtail charging? So we do a lot. I mean, I think, and we try to build facilities where you can come in with a chassis and container on. And we try to build facilities where you can bobtail charge, which is going to be your kind of lowest cost per mile option. And so we try to build these things pretty flexible so folks can do a lot of stuff with it.
Matt, what were you doing before 4 Mobility? How did you stumble onto this idea? What was the trigger that got you to where you are now?
Electrons have been my entire career, building them, operating them, financing them. I ran a business unit for a company called NextEra, which is the largest owner of renewable energy in the world. The particular business unit I ran had invested several $1 billion of assets on the distribution system, which these truck charging facilities, everything that we get at our house, that is on the distribution system. And that's a special kind of asset in the world of electricity. And so I've done this for 20 years. I started off in the trades. I was an installer. My father, my brother are all in the trades as well. And I was a construction manager, a project manager, and ended up on the investment side. And I've done about $5 billion of infrastructure projects, you know, either as construction or owner operator of those facilities themselves. So it was about 5 years ago, this idea came up. I was getting ready to turn 40. I had a couple little kids, and it's one of those times when I always thought about doing my own thing and starting my own business. I was lucky to find some good partners to pair up with, and we took a leap and started 4 Mobility.
Got it. Now, along the journey, so you said it was a few years ago that this came into your conscience. What are the most interesting things you've learned along the way? What are the surprises that you really kind of didn't anticipate as you got into the trucking community?
So, yeah, so I've said this before. Like, I'm definitely, you know, we knew that we needed to build really big facilities that could charge big trucks at the same time. And I really had no idea what triage was when we started this. But we knew that trucks that pick up a container and they go back and forth all day, that makes a lot of sense for electrification. Taking a container from Long Beach to Houston, I personally don't quite get that plan yet. And I don't see that in our future anytime soon. But picking something up and taking it to the IE makes a lot of sense to me. And then we started to unpack drayage and just the ecosystem of drayage and just the owner operator, the small fleets, the way the business works. And I think the way these regulations have impacted the drayage fleets for years, right? What first happened around advanced clean trucks in 2008 and 2009, and now this, and just kind of seeing how the regulations don't always take into consideration the folks that move our goods, to be honest, and just the the makeup of the fleet that, you know, in our estimation, there's, you know, these 33,000 registered trade trucks probably drive about a billion miles a year. And how a lot of this stuff affects them isn't really well thought through, I think, when it happens. And just kind of seeing how drayage works has been really, really fascinating to me.
Gotcha. So, you know, you mentioned the ports that you're in, very California centric, which makes an awful lot of sense. Do you have a sense for an expansion plan? Which ports do you think will, you know, go green next? How do you see rolling out across the U.S.?
If you spend a lot of time and energy, you spend a lot of time following policy, and that is for better or worse, right? I mean, that is energy is policy. And so from our standpoint, we see places where there is some favorable policy happening. There's a cap and trade program in the state of Washington that has produced an immense amount of funding that will be directed towards this type of application. And so that's a market that we're excited about. And you also see a clean fuel standard passed in New Jersey that I think is really exciting. You also have a clean fuel standard, like also known as LCFS, which maybe people are starting to hear a lot about, the low carbon fuel standard, which produces some funding for offset the price of electricity. There's a really robust program in Vancouver as well. And so when you run a business like we do in infrastructure, you look for places where you can create value and you can deploy a lot of capital. And so we're looking at places where we can try to find a price parity, or at least a pathway to price parity, where we can deliver a fully charged truck that makes sense to our customer, right, which is the carrier. And so those are the markets that we see as markets that have policies that are going to support that value proposition.
Got it. Understood. Matt, one of the questions we ask every guest to hammer down is, you know, if you're talking to, let's say, a new or recent college grad, and they're thinking, man, maybe supply chain's for me, what advice do you give that kid?
I think, my advice to give every college graduate is don't look, I remember people saying, you know, find something that you're really passionate about and like just dive in. It's like, I think just find a really well company and just work as hard as you possibly can for them. You know, I started off in construction and I never knew that I would end up on the investment side and finance side of things. If you're interested in supply chain and you're interested in this, I think that one, supply chain is really interesting because it will go through a generational transition, whether people like it or not. And transitions create huge opportunities. And I think that somebody getting into this business that embraces that transition and that is going to find a lot of opportunity. And I think if they just keep their head up and their eyes open and they ask a lot of questions, like I've always just told people, you know, if you're graduating from school, just run as fast as you can towards things that are growing. Because when things are growing, you just get opportunities handed to you a lot faster. And I think that this is one of those places where it's going to grow, because you're going to have an out with the old and in with the new on the technology side. And that goes from a software standpoint to the very vehicles that are running our cargo around. And I think that is a place that you can have a lot of opportunity. So I think that the worst advice people give is, you know, go into something very specific when you're 22 or 23 years old, because you don't know what the hell you want to do. Just go work for a really good company and work really hard and ask a lot of questions, and ideally find yourself in something that's growing like crazy.
Matt, we're celebrating Earth Day today, you know, understanding it's a green day. Tell me a little bit about your why. Why did you get this going?
I think that we have an opportunity to do something that's really good for the communities at Forum Mobility. I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. I grew up in Oakland. I know that this is hard, and I don't think that this has been done, you know, on the regulatory side, a particularly elegant way in California. And I sympathize with folks having to endure this transition, but I do think that the end result of this will be positive. You know, I don't know if that's 3 years from now or 10 years from now or 20, but I do know that when my kids are grown up and they're looking at the way things are moved, that we're going to have a cleaner place to do it. I think communities will be better off for it. I think the drivers will be better off for it. And I think that the beginning of something new is the absolute most fun you could possibly have at work. Like, it is the messiest, it is the nastiest, but, you know, getting a chance to do this and see something new and be kind of at the forefront of it is, I think, a real privilege that I don't take for granted.
So Matt, final question. If somebody wants to reach out, get in touch with you, what's the easiest way to find you?
Yeah, LinkedIn is a place where a lot of people seem to be able to find me. You could also just send me an email at matt.leduc@forummobility.com. That's where you can find me. I'm happy to chat. And I also appreciate you having me on the show, Mike. It's really, really good to talk to you. And we appreciate talent a lot.
Thanks, Matt. For Hammer Down, I'm Mike Bush. Thanks for checking out MarketScale. We'll talk to everybody soon. Happy Earth Day.